We start hour number three. I am efforting Elton Brand, GM of the Sixers. The season's about to get underway in the association. We're going to run him down momentarily, but I should remind you, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I start this third hour. Well, I was going to start this third hour with a quick email. I am not starting this third hour with a quick email. I will start this third hour instead with a quick introduction. We are joined by the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. He is entering his second season as 76ers GM, a 17-year NBA vet, a two-time All-Star. He was the first overall pick back in 1999. He was the co-rookie of the year in 2000. Philadelphia coming off a 51-win season. They open up their season against Boston on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Elton Brand is my guest. Elton, great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good to be back. You can send your email if you want. I'll wait, man. You know me.
No, man. It's not worth it. It was not that good of an email, but I appreciate you saying so. All right. So we're just over 48 hours away from the start of the season. How are you feeling right now? For instance, would you like a little more time to get ready for the year, or are you excited and ready to turn this team loose and let it rip?
No, we're excited. Preseason, it's like it becomes a drag on everyone playing against each other over and over again, and then, you know, going out there and the games don't count. So we're chomping at the bit to get out there. We're excited, especially against a great rivalry like we have with Boston.
We're talking Elton Brand. So last month, your coach, Brett Brown, said, quote, "We've had back-to-back 50-win teams. We have a 25-year-old All-Star. We have a 23-year-old All-Star. We have the best team I've had this year. We have the deepest bench. We have vets. We have men. We've got pieces. Elton Brand has done a hell of a job," end quote. So it's really a hell of a comment right there. You know the expectations are out there for the team. So as an organization, how are you dealing with them? Do you try to ignore them, or do you take them on and say, listen, anything less than our best is going to be a failure?
We embrace it. We embrace the expectations, from our great managing partners, Josh Harris, Dave Bishop. They did a great job giving me the keys to put this team together this summer. Brett Brown's been a great partner with all this, but we embrace the pressure. We know what the expectations are, and we look forward to it. Like, we don't want to be in the middle. We want to be in that championship talk season after season. We want to put together a winning team season after season. That's my goal.
76ers general manager Elton Brand is my guest. So when you made the move to add Al Horford, I'm guessing you had a pretty good understanding of what he was going to bring to the team. But now that you've seen him in action with everybody else, how excited are you about how he fits in with this group?
Proven veteran, proven winner, 11 playoff appearances in 12 seasons, five-time All-Star, just what he consummate professional. What he gives us, on the court, because he can play, he can spread the floor, versatility and defense. And we know the teams we're going to have to face if we want to try to get out the East. He gives us just that much off the court also with, talking to, our younger players, his relationship with Joel, and just being a consummate professional. So it's been great actually having him in the building. It looked kind of weird at first, seeing him in a Sixers uniform, but
sure.
I got used to it.
We're talking Elton Brand. That makes sense. Speaking of Joel Embiid's coming off a year where he averaged 28 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, couple of blocks, a legitimate MVP candidate and Defensive Player of the Year candidate, and he's really only entering his third full season in the league. So to you, what does the next step in his growth look like?
Losing Game 7 the way we did has really propelled him to, and all of us, to work hard to get that quest of a championship. So next step for him is to continue to grow, take it as he's taken it this summer, with his health, with everything else. So he's focused and locked in, and just continue on that kind of path to just stay steady and be there every day for all the little things he needs to do for, his rehab or getting his extra shots up, and he's been working at it this summer, so I'm very proud of him and where he's at right now. Played in all the preseason games, and he's ready to go.
We're talking to 76ers GM Elton Brand once again. You've got so much offensive talent on that roster, but if you had to describe the identity of the team, is it about what you can do on offense, or maybe is it about how you can dominate teams defensively?
Our goal, defensive. Defensive toughness, the versatility, we spoke to that. But, our size, length, athleticism, and team building, and watching the playoffs, rebounding. Look, the small things when the game slows down is what really hurt us in the playoffs last year. And as good as we were, we were close, but we didn't make it there. So we're going to hang our hat on defense this year.
No, it seemed like it. I mean, to that point, you traded up to select Matisse Thybulle in the draft. People who watched him in Washington knew how good he was defensively, but then he shows up in camp and Brett Brown is raving about him. Ben Simmons is laughing and saying things like, man, I hate him on defense. I hate him. How pleased have you been with the way the rookie has shown up so far?
I've been very pleased. We had a blue and white scrimmage. It's basically, you split the teams up, and he got a standing ovation from the fans for deflections, which I've never saw in my 20-year career being around the NBA. So he's been spectacular. He's hitting shots, but his defense, he gets his hands on balls all the time, deflection-wise, and he should see some real NBA minutes this year. So I'm excited about where he is and his progress.
Manil, what is that exactly? I mean, how much of that is that just God-given ability, and how much of that is want to, desire, just the choice you make?
Yeah, it's a mix. It's almost like he baits players to throw his way, and it's akin to an interception, I guess. Like, it's uncanny. His size, his athleticism, his quickness, his length, and just his motor, but also he's intuitive, like how to get these steals, how to get these deflections, how to get these blocks. But he doesn't quit.
Sounds like our guy Dennis Rodman, doesn't it? Like, I'm not making that comparison per se, but like the way you lay that out, that sounds like what we used to say about Dennis Rodman, right?
Oh, for sure. Like, we knew when Dennis, he just had a total feel for the game. Like, he knew where an offensive rebound would bounce. He just had that kind of feel. Of course, we're not comparing him to, one of the greatest forwards in, NBA history, but he does have a great feel for the game defensively, for sure.
We're talking Elton Brand. I get that. Listen, one thing about Brett Brown, he's so great to talk to because he's got this colorful language when he uses phrases like bomb squad, wrecking ball, when he wants to describe the second unit. James Ennis talks about being a bunch of bulldogs. How would you describe, and I'll get back to Brown, but how would you describe that second unit, and what kind of an impact do you want to see from them when they come in?
That was something I had to definitely strengthen up, in the playoffs last year. Just get the bench a lot stronger. We have a lot more depth. Mike Scott coming back. James Ennis wanted to be back. We talked about Matisse Thybulle. Kyle O'Quinn has been great. He had 9 assists in a preseason game at a center. Furkan, and the list goes on. So I'm really excited about having this group back and players that know the system already, and I think we're going to do very well off that bench with that second unit.
All right, so Brown, like he's got that vernacular, he's got a way of looking at things and a way of talking about things. When he's talking about things like the wrecking ball and the guys so-and-so gnashes or this guy is in the honey spot, what's it like to work with him, and can you always follow what he's saying when he's talking about guys gnashing and going to the Malone line?
Yeah, the Malone spot. There's like a 76ers dictionary is what they have.
Right.
And his vernacular and all these, terms from, I don't know where he gets it from, Maine or somewhere, but it draws you close. Once in a blue, it's a word, you're like, what is the Malone slot? What is the Nash step? What is the Virgil? And, all these terms from old NBA games and old NBA teams, or the Maggette cut even, things like that. But it's colorful, but it draws you to him. And he's been a great coach for us. I'm glad he's at the helm and the leader on that court for us.
Elton Brand's my guest. Before you go, there's so much talk outside the team about Ben Simmons and his shooting. It seems like people get so worked up every time the guy makes a shot or misses a shot, and they're always losing their mind whether he makes or misses. What would you say to everybody who does that, and how does he look to you right now?
He looks great. He's already been an all-star. He's already rookie of the year, and he's working on a shot. We believe in him. We want him to shoot it when he's open, but he has so many spectacular parts of his game from his defense. Could be one of, make an all-defensive team. We know his passing. We know his size. We know his athleticism. And his willingness to shoot is only going to make his game better. So I'm looking forward to see him continue to work on it, and we're going to give him those opportunities. But we're not going to hurt the team in any way for that. Like, that's him. He wants to make the best basketball play possible out there.
Elton, finally, when I take a step back, whenever I talk to former assistant coaches who ultimately become head coaches, they always talk about what it's like to move that one chair over and what a difference it is to make that move to one chair over. You said that when you were coming up, you could make that recommendation, but now you're making the call, right? So from our conversations over the years, from when you played and even after you retired, I knew you'd be up to the challenge, but how different does it feel making a recommendation versus being the guy who's got to make that call?
It's a world of difference, Joe. It's like, you know, some of the recommendations, I thought back, you know, from one of our conversations and just talking, like, some of the recommendations I made may not have made sense, and it's just like, whatever. Like, it was out one ear, in one ear, out the other, it didn't matter. But now you're sitting in the chair, and you're receiving the recommendations to make that final call. You know, I believe in the team first and, you know, getting our goal of winning the championship, and then I think about myself last. So but it's definitely tough sitting in the big chair.
He is in the big chair, the general manager for the 76ers, entering his second season in that big chair, a 17-year NBA vet, two-time All-Star, first pick in the draft overall in 1999, and Philadelphia opens up against Boston Wednesday. Elton, I appreciate you. Always did when you played, always have since you stopped playing. You've always been accessible to us, and I do appreciate the relationship so much. Thanks, Elton.
No, my pleasure.
Great talking to you, Elton Brand. I mean that sincerely. I know I say it whenever he comes on, but I mean this every time he comes on. He was great to talk to as a player in college, in the NBA, and now as an executive, availing himself 48 hours out, and they're coming off a 51-win season. Interesting week for Philadelphia. Eagle fan, obviously not happy about what happened, but Sixers fans have a lot to be really excited about coming into this year. All right, so we break. Open phones until the top of the hour, which is my final hour today. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. Now, if I'm being real, y'all had a really good week calling the show last week, and so far today we're having a pretty horrible day. It's not too late to salvage the day. All right, rise up. Hey, do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love money? Then get with the program. Get down to Hooters. Catch the game and play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you are just a few questions away from a chance at making some money. You can win cash prizes, and you can win free Hooters food and drinks. It is easy to play, and it works like making prop picks. Who's going to win? Might be you, and it could not get any easier, and it is free to play. You love wings. You love ice cold beer. Who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? And there is no better place to get your sports fix. And now you can get in on all the action. So, if you've got game, head to Hooters. Watch all the games, eat, drink, play for the big cash with Hooters Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register right now, then head to Hooters for every game all season long. Once again, that's Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Coming to Hooters every Monday night, because you want to play Monday Night Moneyball. You just do. You're just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies. A new chance to win every week, and Hooters girls to make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. Do it. Some reaction to the callers. I mentioned that last week the callers were tremendous, and this week the callers, well, today, the callers have been, I don't know. I don't want to bite the hand that feeds, because where would I be without you callers? Y'all suck today. They've not been good. No offense. No names mentioned, all of you. At PJ in the Mile High tweets, what in the bloody hell is with these callers? They're not good, PJ. Are you listening to what I'm saying? At Hitman Canadian tweets, with this string of callers, Josh in Detroit could easily snag a golden ticket. Yeah, not on my watch, not in my life, not in your life, but we could easily bring back the hack-off. The problem with these callers is they're not hack-off worthy. Like, give me an A or give me an F. These are just C-. JC in Calgary, stop letting Adam Hawk answer the phones. He's paid. I got to let him do something. Hey, Rome, Altuve went yard. So did I. Yours? Crank Sinatra.
Hawk,
I should probably have this conversation with you off the air, but I can't wait. You've given me two versions of that email. Don't do it. I'm not interested in size. Size does not matter here, Hawk. Why are you doing that, dude? Unwar people who get deked by the green left turn arrow when driving straight. Anyway. Stop doing it, Hawk. Size does not matter here. 1-800-636-8686. Again, I want to thank Elton Brand for showing up the way he does whenever we ask on this program. I love it. I'll tell you something else I like about this is what I love about the Sixers. I want to say something about the Sixers, the 76ers. When they were not competitive and not winning games and working their plan, they were great to deal with. And they let us have Brett Brown. And they gave us access to their team. And they put guys on the show. I've seen this before. I've seen what happens. And they're a great example of this. The Golden State Warriors are the best example of this. Where when teams are not good, of course they want the pub. They want you to talk about them. And they want to accentuate the positive so you don't talk about the negative. I understand that. But the Golden State Warriors were amazing. Even when they were not winning games, and this is why I always hype up Ray Ritter, they still did whatever they could to give you access. They wanted to help the media. They wanted to help you by availing their players or coach. The 76ers are the same way. However, the point of this is sometimes when teams turn it around and all of a sudden they get good, they forget. And then they forget who you are and they don't want to help you. The 76ers are another great example of a team that was not so competitive, that was not winning games, that was there for you. But then when they got really good and they started to rip off 50 wins every single year and they started to go deep into the postseason, they're still great to deal with. I appreciate that. As somebody who hosts a show, I want to recognize that and I appreciate that. They're really good like that. All right, so as many of you know, our oldest son, Jake, is a freshman at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So we were back in Madtown for Parents Weekend. So we did what you do when you're in Madison. We got fat, got our grub on, hit the bars. I think that I gained 5 pounds this past weekend. I think. I don't know because I was way too paranoid to jump on the scale and find out. Oh, and we talked and we watched Badger football. From the second I got off the plane, we talked and watched Badger football. And prior to Saturday's game against Illinois, all anybody could talk about was next week's game against Ohio State. So if the Badgers themselves were not looking past the Illini, then a lot of their fans definitely were. And I can understand why that is, right? Number one, nobody fears Illinois. Well, nobody except maybe Rutgers. And I'm not even sure they do. And on top of that, you've got Wisconsin playing lights out on both sides of the ball, and they've got a huge game against Ohio State next weekend. A game of the year potential. Two unbeaten juggernauts battling not only for Big Ten supremacy, but for a possible position in the college football playoff. I mean, it does not get much bigger than that. And while everybody was focused on Bama, Clemson, maybe even LSU, I was telling people this weekend, you know, I can make the argument that Ohio State was the best team in the country. And being in Madison, where they know football, people knew this. And they were concerned about it, but they won their shot. So Ohio State, who I'm saying might be the best team in the country, goes out and they handle their business. They hammer Northwestern, which is exactly what you're supposed to do if you're an elite team. You stay in the moment and you hammer a lesser opponent into submission, and then you get ready for the next brawl. In other words, Ohio State held up their end of the bargain. Unfortunately, Wisconsin did not. You see, nobody told Illinois that they were a joke. Nobody told Illinois they had lost 26 out of 30 conference games under Lovie Smith. Nobody told Lovie Smith, incredible beard, average coach. Because the Illini looked nothing like themselves. And unfortunately, neither did the Badgers. Illinois was not there to just take part. They were there to take over. And make no mistake, they outplayed and they out-executed Wisconsin. That was no fluke. They earned that win. They deserve that win. Lovie Smith, legendary beard or not, was on the hot seat. Badly needed a signature win. And now he has it. And unfortunately for them, he got it at Wisconsin's expense. That's an awesome win for Illinois and a really damaging defeat for the Badgers. And there was shock around Madison when this went down.
Badgers have no timeouts. They can't stop it. McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is good. Yes! Go
What about that rule of no cheering in the press box? Learfield Sports. But again, that's how big a win that was for Illinois. Biggest upset of the year in college football. So Wisconsin, they would tell you they were ready. They would tell you that they were not looking past Illinois. They would tell you that that was not a trap game, and that's not what that was. But it's hard to accept when you remember they were 30-point favorites. 30 and a half. That was the biggest upset of the year in college football. And they weren't playing especially well. And we were watching that game in a bar with other Badger fans. And you could tell how anxious those fans were. But they were up 23-14. And although that wasn't their best day, all they had to do was finish. Choke the Illini out. Finish. Get the hell out of Champaign with that W. And start to get ready for Ohio State. But they didn't. And the problem was, they let the Illini stick around. They made a couple of critical errors late. Illinois capitalized, and they shocked the world. So now Wisconsin's got to get that out of their system as quickly as possible and get ready to deal with a monster at the shoe. That loss may have cost them their shot at the college football playoff. However, the Badgers still have a lot to play for. They still have plenty to play for. Their season is over only if they let it be. Illinois did not get Wisconsin's best shot, and it killed the Badgers. They need to make sure now that Ohio State gets their best shot, or this could get really ugly. And God, tip your hat to Illinois. Man, they were tough. They were tough. They won that thing badly, and they executed, and they never gave in. So take your head off and tip your hat to Illinois. Really good win for them and a really discouraging loss for Wisconsin. But their season's not over, unless they let it be. In the meantime, before that, we had an amazing time Friday night. I watched the Wisconsin hockey team take on Minnesota Duluth. An electric atmosphere. And it was so good to get caught up with head coach Tony Granato and his staff after the game. Tony was a huge Jungle guy back in the day. He'd come on this show frequently. Tony Granato was on my first TV show that I ever did, talk to for ESPN2 frequently when he played for the LA Kings. Tony Granato is as classy a guy, as classy an athlete, as classy a person as I have ever been around in any sport. And Janet and I hung out with him and his staff after the game. We chatted some of the team up before we left. All in all, that was an amazing experience. And Tony's got it going there. He's got it going there, and it was great to get caught up with him and see what he's building there firsthand. I could not have been more impressed with what I saw. So all in all, we had a great weekend. I have not seen Jake Rome since he left for college. He is having the time of his life, loving it, loving Madison, loving the college, loving the curriculum, loving life socially, loving the dorms. It was a great time. Other than Illinois shocking the Badgers. Let's go, baby! They were hyped. They were hyped. That's a great win for Illinois and a really disappointing loss for the Badgers. And now they got to buck up, man up, get ready to play a big one in the shoe. All right, we are coming right back. And when we do, I still want to talk about the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, and how awesome he looked.
Jackson.
And normally revenge games are like the corniest thing ever. Try telling that to Earl Thomas. All right, got the ATP for you. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP, Rome, now that you're an adopted local in the Midwest, do you have a place for food that you like to go? Or a dish or a beverage that you make sure to hit up every time you're in town? What's your take on Spotted Cow? David Appleton, you know I'm a big fan of the Spotted Cow. You know this. You know this. It kind of depends where we go. When you mention that we are now an adopted local in the Midwest, we go to two places in Wisconsin predominantly. At least we have been in the past year, year and a half. We go to Madison because our son Jake goes to the University of Madison, University of Wisconsin, Madison, and we have real estate in Eagle River. So I go there. Two different places. So I'm still kind of familiarizing myself with the restaurants and the meals. It's a lot of fat. We eat a lot of fat.
Fat.
So in terms of what are my favorite dishes? Fat.
Fat.
In terms of what's my favorite beverage? It kind of doesn't matter where I go. I drink the same types of things. I don't veer off the beaten path. You know me. You know my regimen. Sunday through Thursday, I do not drink. Friday and Saturday, I'll bump into a Heineken and or a martini. And lately, my martinis have been vodka, not so much gin. So whether I'm in California or New York or Wisconsin or Florida or Texas, that's kind of my regimen, right? I will say this. We went to, is it Tornado or Tornado Steakhouse in Madison? Had a really good experience there. So that was fun. So if you have any recommendations, the next time I'm going to Wisconsin, I will let you know. You know I was going. You tell me where to go. Let me know where I should go. There is your ATP. I want to talk Ravens football for a minute. I mean, like saying Lamar Jackson would be better as a wide receiver at this point than a quarterback is, I don't want to beat this into the ground, but that was a horrible take at the time, and that's an even worse take right now. And there's going to come a day where I do not reset that because it has pretty well been beaten into the ground. Except today is not that day. Because it really was a bad take then, and somehow it's gotten worse by the week. Especially after what Baltimore just did to Seattle. They went in, they made a statement. A big statement. And while there's nothing cornier than the concept of a revenge game, there's no doubt that Earl Thomas wanted that game really badly. In case you do not remember, Earl Thomas was flipping off Pete Carroll last season, and things did not end well for him in Seattle. So he goes to Baltimore, he comes back to Seattle looking to get his. And it's hard to imagine anything being close to the exhilaration of winning a Super Bowl, right? But I'm guessing that Earl's day yesterday came pretty damn close. If you're thinking that coming back and sticking it to Peter in his face had to feel pretty good, you're wrong. Because Earl said afterwards, it felt great. In fact, according to Earl, it felt better than great. According to Earl, it was, quote, the best feeling in the world, end quote. And you know Earl loves seeing Marcus Peters coming from L.A. to Baltimore and then in his very first game with the Ravens doing this to the Seahawks.
They'll rush five. Wilson steps up, pumps once, throws along the near sideline, intercepted, picked off, and going to the house. It's Marcus Peters, 20. 10-5, touchdown Ravens, and welcome to the Ravens secondary, Marcus Peters.
Ravens radio on the call. If that's not the most Marcus Peters thing ever, I don't know what is. And you know Earl Thomas also loves seeing Marlon Humphrey do this in the fourth quarter to ice the game.
Toss to Metcalf, who drops the ball, loose ball. It trickles along the sideline, recovered. Marlon Humphrey scoops it up and takes it into the end zone for a touchdown. No official signal now it comes for the touchdown.
The field is a completed pass followed by a fumble with a return by the defense for a touchdown.
Another big play. But the truth is, yesterday was not just about Earl Thomas and the Ravens defense. It was about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, still not a receiver, but he's definitely a passer and a runner and a leader. Listen to him talking after the game about what he said to Earl Thomas.
I told him, I said, we're going to win for you. I know you've been here years. You know, this is your original home, and we got your back. And I'm going to put you on my back, put the team on my back. If I got to, we're going to win.
I don't know about you. That to me is like the coolest thing. That guy's 22. 22, going to a vet like Earl Thomas and telling him, hey, listen, I know what this means to you. I got this. I got this. I got you. I got this team. I'll get all you on my back. We'll take care of this. And that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what they did. They go across the country. They face off against another MVP candidate. That's right. I said it. Another MVP candidate. Because you have to include Lamar Jackson in that right now. And yes, it is too early. It's ridiculous to have a debate at this point about the MVP. But if you're having a discussion about MVPs and their candidacies, then you better put Jackson in there. They go across the country and they beat a team that has been traditionally as tough to play at home as anybody in the NFL. and they beat them soundly in their place. And Lamar just outplayed Russ in his house when no one was playing better than Russ coming into that game. The proof of Jackson's effectiveness is not going to be in the numbers. He had 116 yards rushing on 14 carries, only 143 yards passing. I mean, good, but those numbers aren't going to blow you away. But it's very clear that he left a mark on that Seattle defense. There was this play on fourth down.
This is going to be a quarterback run. Jackson takes a snap, runs to the right. He's got a seam. He's to the five. He's in. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens have taken the lead again.
But, and never mind that he went to his coach and said, hey, listen, I got this. We don't need to kick field goal. Let me take care of this. But if you really want to boil the Lamar Jackson experience down to one play in Seattle, pick this play. Fourth quarter, holding a one-score lead and facing third and eight from his own 12. Seahawks fans losing their minds. Seahawk defense knows it makes a stop here. They can flip the entire game. They know it. The fans know it. The 12th man knows it. But most of all, Jackson knew it too.
Blitz coming off the edge. Jackson steps up, pocket collapsing. He'll tuck and run. He's to the 15, 20, 25, 30. 35, 40, and he's finally taken down at the 42-yard line. First down, Ravens. Lamar Jackson does it again. A 30-yard run that gets the Ravens out of the bind and puts the stopgap on the crowd noise.
That was some Mike Vick bleep right there. 30-yard run. I mean, just running right by guys. A guy his size. Running right by dudes. Seattle's KJ Wright said it best, quote, dude is fast. We just got outran, end quote. Wright was not the only Seahawks player either who was left picking his jaw and his jock up off the ground. Listen to the rest of these quotes. These are amazing quotes from really, really good players. Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney, quote, I always wanted to play against Michael Vick. I guess I got the new era with Lamar Jackson. He did his thing today, end quote. Quentin Jefferson, quote, I'm glad we don't have to play him again, end quote. Brandon Jackson, quote, remember on that 04 Madden when you had to stop Michael Vick? That's what it was. He's just special. I don't even know how to explain it. He's a special talent. We knew he had the arm strength. He's a pretty accurate thrower. When he gets outside that pocket and turns that corner and puts it on, it's hard to stop him, end quote. So you've got two different guys with two different Michael Vick comparisons. One comparing him to the real Vick, the other comparing him to the Madden Vick. Clowney wasn't even done. Clowney said, quote, he might be the fastest guy I ever chased with the ball in his hands. He can make anything happen for that team, and they're all on the bandwagon with him, getting what they're supposed to be getting out of their quarterback. We got a great one too, end quote. See, the amazing thing about that respect from Seattle's defense is that's a guy who just went into their house and beat them down. And they couldn't do anything about it. And they don't even seem mad. They don't even seem pissed. They just seem amazed by the whole thing. Kind of awed by the whole thing. Almost honored to have been on the same field as the guy. That's how you know when somebody has done something really special. That the opponent isn't angry. That the opponent's not even bent. Seattle's not talking about what they could have done or what they should have done because they know there really wasn't a damn thing they could have done or they would have. They didn't have an answer for Lamar because that answer at this point really doesn't even exist. How do you stop that? They really couldn't do anything other than just tip their cap to move on and be glad they do not have to deal with this guy anytime soon. So back to the original thought. Remember when dopes were saying that that guy should be a wide receiver. Listen to what a good defense is saying about that guy. We've never seen anybody like that guy. He flat out outran us. We're glad we don't have to see him again. And dopes were saying he should be a receiver? Or remember that debate about whether or not he was better than Joe Flacco? Remember that whole conversation? The is Joe Flacco elite debate. Can't believe there was a Joe Flacco versus Lamar Jackson debate.
Hey!
You want to measure Lamar Jackson's impact. Don't look at the numbers, even though they're good. Don't look at the team record, even though it's good. Don't even look at the other talent on that offense or the fact that they're banged up. Just listen to the quotes from the opposition. Then you know. And if you still don't know, if you don't know by now, that's on you, not on him, because this dude is a phenom. I can't wait to see what he does next. I mean, to hear these elite players rave about Lamar is pretty amazing because they're amazed by the guy. These dudes are the biggest alphas in the world, and they're all good with propping this guy like that. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, one of the freakiest dudes there is in awe of Lamar. That's pretty insane. That's like Vic, Moss, Barry, Dion praise right there. The best of the best acknowledging the superior dude that they're in awe of. That's cool. That's really cool because real recognizes real, and Lamar is a special cat. Life is good, B-more. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Guys will get healthier, and he's only going to get better. It will get better.
I'm going to put you on my back, put the team on my back. If I got to, we're going to win.
I love that. Like, nobody had to tell Lamar Jackson what that game meant to Earl Thomas. So he goes to his vet. I got you. I'm going to get you on my back. I'm going to get you on my back. I'll put this whole team on my back if I have to. We're going to get you that win. That's a 22-year-old dude. Thought that was very cool. And hopefully I'm not going to have to say that again. Big day tomorrow. Getting ready for the World Series. Call your shot. Who do you like? Who do you have? Can the Nats stay in this thing? Can they win this thing? We will hit on that. Monday night. Do you think the Jets can stand in and trade with the Pats? Do you think that's a possibility? What are you doing for Monday Night Football? Do you need an idea? You know what you should do? You should go into Hooters. You should go into Hooters, and you should do it tonight. In fact, you should go into Hooters and do it every Monday night. That way you can play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies and a new chance to win every week. Hooters girls make every game more fun. You want to play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. And there you have it. Big day tomorrow. We will preview the World Series. Also tomorrow, Nuggets head coach Mike Malone. So lots to get to. My thanks to Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Had him in hour number one. Always good to talk some Arizona Cardinal football. They've won three straight. Linebacker Jordan Hicks had a huge game. We had him in. 76ers GM Elton Brand also was in. My thanks to the XR4TI. Have a great Monday. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. We are out.